Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Elvis Presley.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And
when joining me, I think, is the All Marine Radio head chef.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Good morning and Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Mac, and Merry Christmas, everybody else.
All right, good to hear your voice. What anything exciting going on? What's the weather like in Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Getting ready to snow, brother.
Is it
a little Christmas? Not much, but we're gonna have a few flakes, and it'll be nice.
Do you have snow? Do you have
snow today? Everything's frozen and frosty. So, but yeah, it's been pretty mild. It's been in the 30s and 20s a little bit. Hadn't hit the teens yet during the day.
Really?
But it's coming.
You know
what? You know it as well as I do.
I do. I do know it. I do know it. And you are right. And so, but it's always, cold weather is always, Or snow at Christmas is always fun. Did you grow up with snow at Christmas? Snow, you were?
Oh, yeah.
Where? Hagerstown?
Hagerstown. Yeah. Hagerstown, Ohio. There was generally snow for Christmas.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's when it got cold in the Midwest.
All right, so what are your plans? Are you hanging out for Christmas? Are you going someplace?
We're staying right here.
Oh, really? No traveling?
No, I don't. I'm not a fan anymore.
Really?
I despise going through airports at this time of year. It's just unbearable.
It is pretty late.
Nobody wants to be where they are. The people that work there, they all want to be somewhere else.
Yeah, doesn't seem like a very happy place to work. Whenever you're going through those, can you imagine dealing with people like that all day? That would suck.
And the way it is now with everybody's, you know, gimme, 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 I want. You know, who needs that in their lives?
Yeah, the TSA people, man.
I'm glad along.
I feel for them. And then
that's a tough gig. But,
that is a tough gig.
That's the way it is.
Yeah, that's showbiz, baby, as you would say. That's showbiz, baby. The what about now are you gonna go watch any hockey? Is there any hockey going on over there? A good friend of Kim and mine just got fired as the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, Dave Haxtell. Yeah. And so I want to wish him all the best. Hack's a great guy, and got treated kind of poorly by the Philadelphia Flyers, and so shame on them. And but he's a good dude. He'll land on his feet. What's that?
Treat their man like crap.
Wait, say that again.
Any Philadelphia team managers get treated like crap by the fans.
Yeah, that's not...
That's a tough love city, Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, you know...
You win, you get out of town. That's their... and we'll see how long Peterson, their football coach, lasts.
Yeah, he won the Super Bowl. Watch him get his ass thrown out. Happy Friday and Merry Christmas. Happy Friday, Mike. I'm out of the office for the next couple of weeks with the holidays, and I'm having knee surgery on Friday. Have a wonderful Christmas. Here's to a healthy and productive 2019. Hold on. I thought there was a prime rib question in there. Here you go. I'm making prime rib on Christmas Eve. I know how to cook it, and I see your November 2 episode about cooking it, but I can't find on your webpage if you posted Kim's seasoning or rub that he uses on the prime rib. I've seen a few different ones and am just not sure what I want to use. What does Kim prefer to use when he seasons the prime rib prior to cooking it? Okay, now before Kim actually answers that question, if you go to, I believe it's the Read Board. It might be the blog. No, it's the blog. I know that. If you go to the blog, on the you'll see a little square that says the Almarine Radio Head Chef's Cookbook, Kim and Beth Holmes. And if you click on that thing that says Read More, you'll see a picture of him and in his lab coat at the behind the bar at Sanders, 1907, in beautiful downtown Grand Forks.
It's the chef's coat.
whatever. Wannabe surgeon. It says, for all of Kim and Beth Holmes' recipes that we've discussed on Almarine Radio, just click here. So click on the word here. I'm doing it right now. Follow along with me. Okay. So that takes you to a whole... Uh-oh. It's in the trash? What? Okay. Houston. We got a problem. Hold on. Oops. It was, you know what? That thing was going so well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I kind of screwed it up. Okay. The beauty of, here you have it. Okay, so now if you click on the click here, it will take you to, holy shit, it will take you to a whole page full of recipes. Now, if I scroll down, I'll see the Juicy Lucy, Sanders Famous, all right?
Yeah.
And if you click on Sanders Famous Prime Rib, and there's one, two, three.
Hello.
He shut himself off.
Are you all right?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Quit messing with your phone, man. You did. You shut yourself off again, and we're.
I didn't touch my phone. Bullshit. I'm terrified.
Bullshit. Because we can hear you saying hello. Hello, you're that guy. Hello? Anybody there? You're like, oh, shit. Here we go again. All right, so hold on. Listen. So all the prime rib, there's one, two, three. There's a bunch of pictures of the prime rib. And then if you click on Sanders Famous Prime Rib 1, which I'm clicking on, you'll see in Beth's writing, prime rib, is it rub? R-E-B?
R-O-B.
R-O-B.
Oregano and basil.
Yeah, so it's there. It's there. So just that's how you find it. All right, now walk them through. How do you do it?
Okay. You have your prime rib, naked, patted dry. Then you sprinkle white pepper and salt over the whole prime rib.
Okay.
Ends, top and bottom. Then you have about, I'd say a cup of garlic puree, or a half a cup. It's got to be kind of mix olive oil and your garlic cloves in a Cuisinart till it gets to be like a paste. And then you spread that paste all over the prime rib on all sides. Then you sprinkle rosemary, oregano, and basil. We call it ROB, R-O-B, so it's easy to remember. Rosemary, oregano, and basil. And it can be dried. I would recommend using dried. It's a lot easier to do, a lot cheaper to do. And then you be very liberal with the dosage of each one of those. You kind of give it a little pat to set it into the garlic puree. And then with the fat cap up, that means the rounded side, where the bones were, is the bottom. You place that on a raised rack in your oven in a hotel pan, a roasting pan. Excuse me, a roasting pan. Just so you get a crust all the way around.
Okay.
And the oil, the fat drips in to the bottom of the pan.
Okay.
You can use that or not. And that's how you season the roast.
Got it.
Now, the recipe that I use, if you're using a domestic oven at this time of year, which most everybody except those of you in California and the South who are not using a grill, you preheat your oven to 550 degrees, as hot as it'll go. You make sure that the thermostat is correct. So you have to check that temperature. And while the oven is preheating, you let the roast come to room temperature, please. And then, if it's a 12-pound roast, which is usually the average weight of a prime rib that you get at Sam's, or if you order a whole prime rib, you put it in that oven in the center with the convection, the wind oven on, for 1 hour. And at the end, now wait a minute, you cook it for about 50 minutes. I got ahead of myself.
50?
50 minutes. And then you shut the oven off completely and you do not open the oven door.
I was going
to
say
if
that.
You can't remember to do that, you duct tape the oven door shut. You following me, everyone?
I'm following you.
This is the key to the highway. The heat that's in there will slowly go down, and it'll slow roast this prime rib. That first 50 minutes will create the crust and seal the juices inside the prime rib. In the end of that hour, when you open the oven door, you will have medium prime rib on the outside and medium rare in the center. And that's how I cook before I got my prime rib roasting machine called the Alto Chef. It's just a domestic oven. It was a Wolf wind oven, gas, but it can be electric too, as long as it has the fan in there to circulate the heat.
Right.
For even baking, cooking, roasting. Now, the key is, please do not open the oven door for 1 hour.
We have to, though. We have to look. We have to take a peek to make sure everything's all right.
No fucking way. You turn your oven on.
Whoa.
If you have a window, you look in. But you keep the oven door. There's no sense of us having this conversation if you're going to open the fucking door.
Don't get all butch on me, all right? Don't make me go there.
I'm just, I'm emphasizing, Mac.
Your fans in the Bay Area, Alan Maciel from, lives up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hey, tell the chef I'm listening. Okay, Kim, Alan, okay. Alan Maciel's listening.
Hi, Alan. Merry Christmas.
Alan's from Sacramento. Oh. Alan's a baseball player from Sacramento.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's a real estate, big time real estate guy in the Bay Area now.
Well, he's definitely a big time.
Tunned up Bay Area real estate guy. So
hey,
that's good.
Which Kim had enough sense to get in the real estate business when he can, so he could get tunned up.
That's right. And Kim's tunned up. He likes to hang out with tunned up people. So that's good. Oh. We got a bunch of tunned up people here.
That's all that listen to you are tunned up people.
No. The Los pobres listen to me. The poor people do. Because that's what I am. I'm poor.
I am too, Mac.
There you go. Oh, listen to that. There you go. Okay, so now that we know that we don't open the door, and then how long does it cook for after we turn the heat off?
It'll cook for 1 hour. When you shut the oven off after 50 minutes,
right.
The inside temperature is 550 degrees. That if your oven is calibrated correctly. So that heat will slowly dissipate, and it'll go from 550 to 500 to 450. You know, it'll go down, so it'll still be cooking. But by the time you open the oven door, the temperature should be about 160, 150, which is perfect holding temperature. And if you want to put it on top of the oven with a foil tin over it until you're ready to take it to the table and carve, you can do that. Now, we talked about this with because you have your oven door, your oven occupied, you can do your mashed potatoes on top of the stove, and then to hold them, you put them in a crock pot, a preheated crock pot, you know. So
we love our crock pots. I even own a crock pot now.
Oh yeah.
Well, I didn't buy it. My ex-wife gave it to me. She got a new one. She said, "Hey, do you want my old crock pot?" I said, "Are you kidding me? Of course."
Heck yes.
She looked at me and she said, "Who are you?" I said, "We love crock pots. Are you kidding me?" She said,
"We really do."
She said, "Shut up. You don't even know anything about crock pots." I said, "I know all kinds of stuff about crock pots." She's like, "What the hell is going on?"
I would have loved to have heard that conversation.
You would have laughed. Trust me. You would have laughed. It was funny. Yeah. All right.
I hope that helps with the prime rib. That's the appropriate meal to have on Christmas dinner.
My kids grew up with turkey, so we're having turkey again. In fact, I got to go buy the turkey today and put it in the fridge so it can slowly thaw out.
You damn well better buy it today. What size? About 14, 16 pounder?
Yeah, something like that. Between 15 and 20.
Okay. Well, you're going to need, you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's going to take all of that.
Yeah, that's it.
To thaw out before you brine it on
Monday. I don't brine it.
Okay.
I'm anti-brine.
Then you're in the front row, baby.
Yeah.
You do cook it with the breast side down, though.
You know what? I did not flip my bird last time. And I was going to take that up with you. I think flipping the bird's a bunch of bullshit.
Well, it's a matter of what you want to do and whether you like moist white meat or dry white meat.
I don't eat white meat, so it doesn't matter to me. That's my point. Like, who eats white meat? Nobody I care about. We fight over the dark meat. And the dark meat's always moist. So what do I get? Why do I want to go flipping the bird?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Now, if I cared about people that like white meat, I would probably flip the bird. Okay?
Yeah. I got it.
Text message. Don't piss the chef off.
Thank you.
No, we're having a discussion, okay?
he's not pissing me off, because when Matt gets a wild hair and has an opinion, that's it. There's no sense arguing, no sense
here
changing.
We go. Now this is how we're going to treat our veterans today? That's the way we're gonna welcome our veterans home from the war and treat them like shit.
Who's devoted all this time and love to you? You're treating this way.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, don't play that game with me. The Almond Radio head chef is here answering all your Christmas cooking. Yeah, so we'll have turkey and dressing, stuffing, actually, because it will go inside the bird.
Of course.
And then the what else will we have? We will have you will have yams and mashed potatoes and gravy, and it'll all be good. So it is
very acceptable for dinners like this.
Say that again.
Do you ever do the carrot casserole?
No.
For dinner?
No, you know, my kids are militant. They're butch, man. If you deviate, like I substituted your baguette for the bread I used with the stuffing. And let me just tell you, Kim said, look, dry the baguette out or hack it up, dry it out, and it'll absorb the butter and the onion and all that stuff better, right? All that flavor. And it did. But they looked at me and said, don't ever do this again, okay? Do not mess with what our mouth expects to have on Thanksgiving or Christmas. I'm like, but everybody needs to, first of all, settle the fuck down. That's right.
I'll bet.
Yeah. And happy Thanksgiving. Anyway, where were we? They're butch. They do not let no experimenting. So
okay.
Yeah. So what do you think that would be a good deal on the carrot thing?
I love it so much.
Yeah, you do love it. I think it's an absolute natural.
And then you have carrots. That's similar.
I think it's a natural. It's if you don't have carrot casserole when you have prime rib, you're missing the boat.
I think so too.
It's made for ribeye and prime rib, something with a little bit higher fat content in it. And I don't know why it makes it taste so good, but damn, it tastes. Delicious.
Carrot casserole is godlike.
It is.
And you have the recipe on your website.
Yep.
We should look that up. Add that for the roast beef dinner also.
Is the carrot casserole recipe in there?
I hope it is. It's your recipe. I'm pretty sure you put it in one time.
Corporal punishment, Kathleen. Did I put it in there? That's a good question. How about if I do a search for the word carrot? C-A-R-R. How do you spell carrot? O-T? Is there two T's in carrots or one?
One.
World famous recipe, carrot casserole. Just go to the website and type in the word carrot. C-A-R-R-O-T. And, it's a real pretty picture that says carrot casserole recipe. It's a big bunch of orange carrots. That's the picture you'll see. So it's not in with Kim's recipes because it's not one of Kim's. Actually, my mom stole the recipe. Didn't steal it. They gave it to her at a restaurant that was down the river from in Sacramento called AJ Bumps. And it was kind of the restaurant to go to when we're living in Sacramento, and down the river in a place called Freeport, California. And so, there you have it. There you have it. Kathleen stealing recipes and then getting famous on it. So, congratulations. Congratulations to my mom. Let's see. Mac, can we talk a second about leftover prime rib? Of course we can.
Oh, yeah.
Does the chef have recommendations? Prime rib is one of my favorites. That crust is absolutely to die for. Does he have anything that he recommends to do with leftover prime rib? Keem?
Well, there's several. First and foremost, like a turkey sandwich after Thanksgiving, a roast beef sandwich after on a hoagie roll with whatever your favorite condiments are. Mine happen to be mayonnaise, onions, tomato, lettuce.
Red onion or white onion?
I kind of like, well, it's whatever you like most.
What do you like?
I usually use red onions, but some people like white onions, as long as you slice onions thin.
What's the difference? Could you taste the difference between a red onion and a white onion and a yellow onion?
Yeah, you can. The white and yellow, the Spanish onion, the white onion, it's a little more bitter. It's more for cooking. The yellow onion is usually before red onions became so popular, the yellow onion was what was on a hamburger. But for me, if you have big, thick slice of onion,
yeah,
it takes away from whatever else is in the sandwich. That's all.
Overpowers.
Yeah. And so if it's thinly sliced, and then you can put a little more on, and that's fine. But they have to be slices thin. But a roast beef sandwich. Then number two is a hot beef sandwich. Number three is you can make any kind of beef stew or cube it up.
I don't know if I like that because, I mean, the crust to me is why you have it. The crust tastes so good on prime rib. So how do we maximize use the crust in leftovers? I just think you just got to slice it and eat it as prime rib. I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this other shit.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Mac speaks. I wish it was always that simple in my life. Yeah, because I mean,
was going to suggest.
Go ahead.
A beef stroganoff.
Beef stroganoff.
Yeah. That has a little sour cream.
Yeah.
In there, a little juice from the roast beef, and you serve that over noodles. But I in the same school basically as you, if I want to take a inch slice of prime rib and it's medium rare, and then throw it in a hot cast iron skillet. Just bingo bango on each side one time.
Bingo
Make sure the skillet's hot just to warm it up.
Right.
And not overcook. You don't want to overcook it, but you'll still get a little bit of char on the top and the bottom of the prime rib with the medium to medium rare in the center.
Hey, okay, hold on. Let me ask you. When you warm up, and now you're talking about meat. How do you warm it up? Would you normally put that in a frying pan, or would you I'll use a Pyrex dish and put it in the oven?
Yes.
Yes,
you can put it in the oven and warm it up that way.
So if it's just a piece,
if the piece, I would throw it in a skillet, a real hot skillet, just wham, wham, thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Just, you know, that brings the crust back. You don't want to You don't want to cook the meat. You don't want to let it sit in there for 5 minutes aside, because then you're going to have a piece of shoe leather. You're right. Going to make it well done,
right.
Unless that's your style.
Bismarck, what's up?
But for me, I just want to warm it up. And otherwise, I'll slice a roast beef as thin as I can, and that makes the best sandwich in the world. The thinner that you slice the roast beef, the better it is. And most of us, probably 99% of us, don't have a meat slicer in the house. So the knife has to be exceptionally sharp.
That is true.
And shave as close as you can without cutting your fingers off. And there you go. And that makes a great sandwich on hearty bread with mustard, mayo, whatever you want. Whatever turns you on.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, onion roll, mustard, mayo, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Onion roll. That was Kim taught me. We would go torture a friend of ours. I wouldn't really participate in the torture, but Kim would. And we would go have lunch one every Wednesday or every, I can't remember what day, split pea soup. Thursday.
It was split pea soup.
We'd go have split pea soup and hang out and have lunch, and Kim would torment a friend of ours who did not take it very well. And so it was always an interesting little event to, but you always got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, I did because, you know, he feigned, oh, you know, please leave me alone. But he loved it.
Yeah, no, he's
in the same complex that I live in.
Yeah.
And we're good buddies.
And he's kind of uptight, but he likes to play like he's cool.
Yeah.
Uptight white guy. The town. It's the town of Freeport, Mac, not the city of Freeport. All right. See, this is, see what I deal with? Email. Bingo, I've got it. I do have a convection oven. I will not open the door. Yeah, if you don't remember anything else, you don't open the door, okay?
No.
You don't open
Please.
The door.
Please don't make me look bad.
Yeah, don't make me look bad. Mac, can you tell me where it is on the website one more time? Yes. All right. Okay. You click on your little icon that takes you to the Auburn Radio website, and you show up there. You go to the read board. Okay. And then you leave the read board and you go to the blog. Sorry. I gotta please some stuff up. The carrot casserole. Now, you could do this. You could just go to the website, click on the search button, and just type in the word cookbook. I'll spell it for you. Wait, Kim, can you spell cookbook for us?
C-O-O-K-B-O-O-K.
Good. Very good. And there's only one entry that comes up. Okay? So click on that entry, and then you'll see the word here is a hyperlink, and you click on that word, and then it takes you to all of Kim and Beth's recipes. Every one of them. And let me just tell you, if you want an interesting year of food, again, there's everything on there from baked beans to braised brisket, chicken and caramelized onion grilled cheese sandwich. I'm going to make Kim hungry here. Cream of shrimp soup. Creamy scallop chowder.
Yeah.
Grilled pork tenderloin? Yeah. And then Mexican corn chowder? That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Steak on a, let's see, potato salad recipe? The salmon burger with tangy coleslaw. That was an interesting little recipe. And then there's a whole bunch of, let me just tell you, if Kim's creme caramel. That's to die for. Crab cakes, key lime pie recipe. In fact, the lady who emailed today, she's the one you made that key lime pie for her anniversary. years ago. There's prime rib, pumpkin cheesecake. There's a whole bunch of Thanksgiving recipes there. So, yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff in there. So I would just tell you, it's the one thing about Kim is that his food is awesome. Absolutely, positively delicious. And his restaurant, was when we met, it was funny. We met, and I didn't know him. I'd been in town for a year, and I'm a working stiff. I don't go out to big time restaurants or anything like that. So, I never met Kim because he's a big timer with a big time restaurant. So anywho, although he'll deny that, but that's what he was. So he's the number one restaurant between Minneapolis and Seattle. Okay. So anyway, my vacuum breaks in, the Played Against Sports store that I was running. And so I go down and I'm looking for somebody who's open relatively early in the morning and who had a screwdriver. So I stick my head in. I'm like, hello. And he was back, baking bread?
Yep. That's exactly what I was doing.
And so I said, hey, man, my name is Mike. How are you? He goes, I'm Kim. I said, hey, man, you got a screwdriver I could borrow? And he says, sure. Gives me a screwdriver. So I go down, I fix the vacuum, and I bring it back. But then I looked at the restaurant. I'm like, wow, what? It's a restaurant? And he's like, yeah, it's my joint. So I said, hey, I worked down the mall here a little bit. And he said, okay. So we would become friends, not then, but maybe a year or so later we would meet again. But I would see all these big timers. They'd park in the parking lot and go in there. And people would say, hey, do you know who that is? I'd say, no. Like, that's Scott Hennin. I'm like, oh, really? The talk show, the radio talk show guy? Yeah. He'd drive this big black Suburban. And they'd go into Kim's restaurant. I'm like, ooh, Mr. Big Shot over there. So, that's how Kim and I met. And then that Scott Hennin used to have Kim on his show. Every once in a while to talk about cooking. And I started doing the show with Scott so he wouldn't have to work as hard. And then Kim showed up, and so the three of us were doing the show, and Kim and I had a blast.
You know, he did.
And so then Scott,
a lot of fun.
And Scott left. He got another job in a bigger city, and so he left. And so I called Kim. I said, hey, man, will you keep doing that? And he said, yeah, I'll keep doing it. So he used to do it periodically, and then we started doing it every Friday and turned into a thing. So that's the hetero lot. Yeah, that was
3 hours.
And then we do the show from his restaurant every once in a while. Yeah. During the holidays, we'd sell gift certificates, and we would just have a blast down there. Kim would bust out the eggnog relatively early. I have a public service announcement. If you're unhappy in your marriage, okay, you don't have to kill the other person. You could get a divorce, okay? Stop doing this stupid shit. Unbelievable, man. They just arrested, the Associated Press reporting, they arrested the woman who's been missing in Colorado. They've arrested her fiancé for her murder. Come on. You know, this is on the heels of that dude who murdered his wife and two little kids and the wife was pregnant. What in the God's name is going on? So, anyway, public service announcement. Don't kill other people. It's not a good thing. It's just stupid. So, anyway. Hey, can you hold on? I've got to take a break and... I want to get something to drink, and then we'll come back. I've got a couple more emails for you.
Okay.
All right. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. The chef continues with us on a Friday. Last Friday before. Oh, and the other thing we have to do is we have to talk about Christmas, man.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Don't touch that dial. More Balmering Radio coming up next on a Friday.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good. But I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good. But I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Bells will be ringing.
continue on a Friday. 8:53 on the west coast of the United States. 10:53 where Kim is. And the All-Marine Radio head chef continues with us. The I got an email for you here. Mac, I have a question for the chef. How do you pour things out of a pot on the pan? Is there an appropriate way to do that? I routinely spill stuff.
Pour what out of the pot?
Like water or something, soup maybe? How do you pour it out of a pan? A pan. Like,
what do you
pour into? A soup pan. A soup. A pan that has soup in it. Is that a pan or a pot?
Okay. It's a soup pot.
A soup pot.
And if you want to get it into other things, you take a big ladle.
Come on, man. That's not what he wants to know. Hey, is there, if you have to pour it, how do you pour it?
Carefully.
That's all you got? That's all you got for me is carefully?
No. I was going to tell you, if you have a big pot and you want to pour it into smaller containers,
yes.
How we do it is we have a like a 6-ounce cup with a handle and a pouring cup. It's got a handle in it, and we dip that into the soup and pour it into the different containers. Or we also have a big kitchen ladle, which has about a 6-8 ounce bowl. And we dip that into the soup. So if you have stuff on the bottom and you want to stir it around, then you go all the way to the bottom, you stir it around a little bit, and then you come up, and then you ladle that into whatever container you want to downsize to. That you don't just pick the pot up and start pouring it into a bunch of stuff, because it will go everywhere, like you have discovered. So my recommendation is to get a big time ladle, or if you have like a measuring cup that's 6-8 ounces with a handle on it, you can use that as a dipper, and that's how I would go.
Yeah, I don't like ladles. If I'm like brewing tea in a pot, I just grab it. I spill a fair amount too.
Yeah.
I think you have to be quick with that though, don't you?
Yes, you have to do, and you have to have everything lined up. All the stars have got to be lined up, and the liquid in the pot you're pouring into another pot can't be sloshing around. It's got to be still. So when it comes out, at the point you want it to come out. And then you just do it slowly. You don't just do it in big chunks. You do it slowly. So if you need to stop, you can pull it up and everything stops. Does that make sense to you?
It makes absolute sense to me. What in the, so that makes sense to me. I have one more question, cooking type question for you. Oh, it's an email here. Mac, could you ask the chef what's the most popular dish he ever served in any of his restaurants? That's an interesting question. Of all the things you've ever made, what was the most popular thing you ever made?
Oh, for sure, it was the Swiss Eiger beef. Number two would be the grilled salmon with prairie sauce.
So prime rib was number one?
Yeah, for years. And then once I got people in this part of the world to eat salmon, the with this prairie sauce I invented, and I cooked the salmon in the cast iron skillet, was number two. But in this region, the most popular item I've ever served is walleye.
Ever. Even more popular than prime rib.
In this, well, God, it, you know, some people, all they would do would have one of those three dishes. Well, actually, there's four, roast duck, but that was down. That was four. It was prime rib, salmon, walleye, or duck. Those four items, and you have the recipes for all of it. But especially the walleye.
If I made you pick one that was the most popular, what would it be?
Oh, I'd have to say it would. God, I got to go with the salmon.
The salmon over the walleye was the most popular?
Yeah, God, no. I'd have to say walleye, I guess. Yeah. It's so close, Mac. Everybody had their favorite, and that's why.
I know, but you had to order food, and you had to say, yeah, I got to get this much of this because we got to order a lot of it. So, what did you order the most of routinely? Walleye.
Weight wise, it would be prime rib. Quantity-wise, it would be walleye, but I went through 1,500 pounds of salmon a year, Mac.
Whoa.
Yeah, 100 pounds of salmon a year, and I know I didn't sell 1,500 pounds of walleye a year. So maybe, you know, because those fillets are 6 to 8 ounces.
And what did you put on? What did you put on top of the salmon?
My North Dakota prairie sauce.
What was in it?
That like a teriyaki. It had soy, Worcestershire, a little bit of sugar, red chili flakes. Some allspice. I modeled it after a sauce I had in Jamaica called Pick a Pepper. And I saw that I could buy a jar of Pick a Pepper, but it was like $5 for like 4 ounces. I said, the hell with that. So it took me, I don't know, 6-8 months to try and get something similar to that flavor. And what I came up with, I liked better because it had a little more heat. And a little heat with a lot of sweet. Or a little sweet with a lot of heat, however way you want to say it. But, yeah, that's how I went.
All right. Here's another email. I'm getting my Christmas shopping list ready, and I'm wondering if the chef can give me a recipe of something a little bit different to make for Christmas that would still be good. I do make prime rib. What would he recommend? Prime rib. Is prime rib a traditional?
It has been for me. Because, you know, there's so much turkey at Thanksgiving, and that's just a month ago. And prime rib is not a cheap cut of meat. And you're usually feeding anywhere from 6 to 16 people. And so you need something big. So you need a 12 to 14-pound prime rib. Now you're talking $100+ in today's market for that prime rib. I'd say prime rib.
Wait a minute. Prime rib, is that expensive?
Yeah, it's not cheap anymore.
Wow. The I just did a search on traditional Christmas dinner. Number one answer is?
Goose.
Negative.
Turkey?
Turkey.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, your family's got it right. They they don't,
just what
you know, you get it.
Just what we grew up with, just what everybody grows up with. That's what, you know. But also on here is, let's see. It has it broken down by country. But goose is one of the top ones. Prime rib is in there as well.
Yeah.
Traditional Christmas dinner features turkey with stuffing, mashed potatoes, gravy, cranberry sauce, vegetables, blah, blah. Other types of poultry, roast beef or ham is also used.
Yes. We used roast beef when I was growing up.
What's the difference between prime rib and roast beef?
Well, one's a bottom or top round, and the prime rib is near the filet. It's a more tender cut of meat. For a roast beef, you cook it a lower temperature for a longer time.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
You still get your rare, medium rare, but you just don't cook it real hot.
All right. Here's a question about fried eggs. Mac, I love fried eggs. I eat them every day. What is the chef's recommendation for making the best fried egg? Does he baste? Does he flip them? Does he do sunny side up? I don't even know what over easy means. Could he explain that? So best eggs come which way, and what the hell does over easy mean? I don't know what that means either. How do you want your eggs?
Okay.
Over easy. All right.
Over easy means you take a sunny side up egg.
Yeah.
Where right around the yolk, there's the white part.
Right.
Okay. You, with a soft yolk, you flip it over easy, it's called. And that cooks that white part, turns it from clear to white, but you still have a soft yolk.
Wait, what do you do again?
You have an egg pan, right. 6-inch, 9-inch, whatever, 8-inch sauté pan.
Right.
And you start with your sunny side up egg. You put your butter in your pan. You crack your eggs, get them going. Then when they're about halfway done, you flip them over.
Okay.
Now, that's a motion that you push them away so they start to slide forward. And then you lift it the front up and pull it back in one motion. It takes practice and a lot of screw-ups, believe me. But that's called over-easy. Now, my favorite way to do eggs are sunny-side-up. And, you know, I like fried potatoes or hash browns because I like the yolk mixed
okay,
up.
Let me ask you a question about sunny-side-up. Is there an art to cooking them? What temperature do you cook sunny-side-up eggs on?
I cook them at a medium high heat.
Medium high.
Medium high. I want them to cook pretty quick. You can cook them in butter. You can cook them after you cook the bacon. You can cook the eggs in bacon fat.
Mm-hmm.
That
was Kathleen's. That was the Kathleen's mode of operation. She was a baster.
Yeah. And you baste the egg. That
let me
also
ask you a question. So, what does the basting do? Is it just the heat from the grease cooks the top of the egg?
No. What you do is you don't, you, if you're going to baste your eggs, you put a lid on the eggs and the steam comes up, the butter, or if it's grease, whatever, the steam comes up and hits the lid, comes down on the egg and bastes it. And you still can get a soft yolk, but it colors. It takes the yellow out of the yolk, and it makes it cooks everything.
Right.
Basted. That's a basted egg.
My mom didn't do it like that. She just took the grease and flipped it over the yolk. She sat there.
Yeah, that's basting too. But it's one way to do it. It's not the way. It's one way.
Cool. All right. Don't get tense. Everything's all right.
Explain.
I know. We're doing a lot of explaining today. Yeah, so if you have a question that you want explained to you about something that you don't understand in the kitchen, call us today. Send us an email, live@allmarineradio.com. Send it to us. We'll be happy to explain it to you.
You're darn right. Now, I wanted to mention.
Yes.
I test drove my Christmas morning cocktail, and I made a eggnog smoothie this morning.
Wait a minute. So you had a little bump this morning already, and just under the guise of test driving?
only a ounce and a half, a small shot, just to take the edge off. But what I did, I bought some eggnog yesterday because I love drinking eggnog at this time of year. It's not the slimmest, it's not skim milk. Let me just put it that way. I put my cup of eggnog, a shot of rum, a shot meaning an ounce and a half of rum, and then my protein powder, a banana, some blueberries, and then some seedless black cherries. Grapes.
Where are you finding this kind of fruit up in North Dakota, man? They shut down a fruit stand in about.
No, they come from California. Where do you think it comes from?
We send that shit up. We send that shit up there to you.
Yeah, they do.
Right.
You got to look at it. You got to look close and see it. I'm always sticking my finger and tasting a blueberry.
Got to.
Making sure it's not bitter.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? In the winter, some of that synthetic fruit tastes like crap.
You know, it tastes like cardboard.
Yeah, it does. It looks like cantaloupe, and then you take a bite of it. It's hard, and it doesn't taste anything like cantaloupe. So, yeah. So be careful with out of season fruit in somebody's hothouse. It doesn't have any taste. And I completely agree. Tastes like cardboard. It's ridiculous.
But then I put 2 cups of ice in there. Flip my blender on, and decided it's a great cocktail. Now you don't have to do a smoothie; you can do just on the rocks. You know, eggnog, a little shot,
and
Christmas morning. You know, you got the kids running around. Nobody knows you're having a little bump with the eggnog, and just takes the edge off everything.
Takes the edge off Christmas?
Well, I mean, not the franticness. You know, sometimes Christmas morning, I know I was when I was a kid.
Maniac.
I was a madman.
Yeah.
I'm running around. Our tradition was Christmas morning was my mom would do bacon, and she the Sara Lee coffee cake and fresh orange juice before we We had to get our energy up, strength up, to open our presents.
Absolutely. But you know what? Pretty efficient little breakfast there. Just got to grill a little. Did she bake the bacon in the oven, or did she fry it?
Chip, my mother was the worst. She would take a pound of bacon, cut open the package, throw the whole goddamn thing in a cast iron skillet, and then when it heated up, then she'd start separating the pieces with a fork.
Hey, I've seen that done before. I'm not going to out anybody, but I've seen it done before.
It was a little bit smaller than if you would take time to put it on a baking sheet and bake it in the oven. You know, the bacon is a little larger when you do it that way.
It is.
You bake.
I didn't know that.
And it's crisper, not so fat.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting. And then a little coffee cake and some OJ, and then let's do the presents.
Let the games begin. Yeah. It was a fun tradition, a great memory. And when the family's all around when you're a youngster, it's pretty magnificent.
Yeah, we're going to have five of us will be here this year. So this will be fun.
Hey.
Yeah, this will be fun. Last question. What do you want? What are you getting for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas?
What I want is I want a new hat.
What kind of hat? A Dodger hat?
No, yeah.
I was going to say, because your old one got thrown on the floor and stomped on, you need a new one?
No, I'm just breaking it in. You know how a baseball cap, when you wear it when you're a kid, how it just gets this great softness and holds to your head, and you have the bill the way you want it?
Patrick got a new hockey helmet last night. He was wearing it around the house. I said, I'll give you $20 if you sleep in it.
I'm sure he did.
He said, no, I won't.
Come on, Pat.
I won't. And so then his mother came over to pick up a shirt for Colleen that was here. And so we heard her car outside, and I said, put your helmet on and act like you're asleep, like you fell asleep. And he said, no. I said, why not? He said, fake news. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Good, Pat.
He said, I'm not fake news. I said, fake news was made for you. You're nothing but fake news. He said, I am not. I am not. So, yeah, wouldn't even, little joke for his mom. All right, sir, well, I will talk to you, but Merry Christmas, and thank you very much for the visit today and all the kitchen pointers. We enjoyed them. And again, if you have a recipe you're looking for, go to the All Marine Radio website, and in the search box, just type in cookbook. And click on that, and that'll take you to all Kim's recipes. If you're looking for carrot casserole, go there and type in carrot, and you'll get it. So there you have it. There's some. And again, the prime rib recipe is to die for, honestly. So there you have it. And as we're going out the door today, could you talk about, you do a little bit of a horseradish sauce and sour cream mixture that you serve with prime rib. Could you talk about?
Yes. You're talking about the shrimp cocktail?
No. The horseradish the horseradish sauce and the sour cream that you serve with prime rib.
Yes. You take two parts sour cream, one part mayonnaise, and two parts horseradish.
Sauce.
And you whip that together
horseradish.
With a little lemon juice squeezed in there.
Hold on. Horseradish sauce, right?
It's a horseradish sauce.
Okay.
And you whip it up real well. And that on prime rib is absolutely spectacular. You can also have a just straight horseradish. Sometimes that's a little too hot for people.
Hello.
So that's why I always had both on hand at the restaurant for the purists and the people who didn't want to have fire coming out of their ears. But I did it both.
Right. Yeah, that would have been. I would have been one of the fire people.
You are the fire.
Yeah, I tried straight horseradish once, like a lot of people do, and it was like, wow, what just happened? Right, your whole sinus cavity just clears out. So anyway, all right, sir. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and that beautiful family.
All right, bud.
All of you out there. Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll see you next Friday.
All right. See you, Kim. Thank you.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
You betcha. There you have it. North Dakota. All right. He's not even from there. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alan Maciel is going to join the program. Yeah, you heard about him. So you're going to meet him. He's a Bay Area guy. And a baseball player. So Alan Maciel makes his debut. He's a listener. And so we're going to do a little man on the street interview. Al Maciel, what's up?